Hear these words as they come from Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake at Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished by the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So one of the things that goes on in church is, somebody will tell you to sit down, and then they tell you to stand back up. So I'm not going to do that. But I am going to ask if there are any Eagle Scouts in the congregation. Will you raise your hand? Is he the only one? Okay. I told a story. Stand up. So, I hadn't planned on doing this. As a matter of fact, I hadn't planned on doing a sermon at all today, but it's expected. So, how long have you been an Eagle Scout?
A year.
So, if I came to you and told you I had a shorter, easier way to get there, would you be willing to do it? Why not? A journey. Ooh.
That's a good enough
sermon. Did you say that? SPRC chair, that was good enough. I can go home. You can be seated, brother. Appreciate you. So here's, it's good to have Eston Williams with us today, retired pastor from Ailey. It's good to have you with us. And I want to thank the scouts for all the groceries y'all bought or brought for our food bank. Now that all the announcements are done, you want to know the one thing that just gets me as a pastor and a preacher? When somebody comes to me and tells me how to preach a sermon. And I know Eston has heard this before. You know, preacher, that's good, but that's not the way I'd have done it. Fine, you get up there next week and do it yourself. Kind of like this young man over here. I told him I had an easier way for him to make Eagle Scout, and he turned it down. So it's a journey. Life is a journey. Our Christian walk is a journey. Our scripture text today, within that short period of time, was a journey. Here you have Jesus, a carpenter, getting in a boat and giving a message to the multitude. That's good and fine until he started meddling. He told Peter, "Set out deeper and put out your nets. We're going to catch some fish." Can you imagine the look on Peter's face when Jesus said that?
Dude, don't you realize we've been out all night and we haven't caught a flipping thing? And you want us to go back out and fish some more? There isn't any fish moving. But just so I can get a little chuckle out of this, we'll go out there and do it. So out they went. And the whole time, I can just envision, the whole time, Jesus is talking to Simon. Okay, so when you get to this certain point, I want you to throw your net like this, on this side, at this speed, rate, however. And I can just envision Peter just kind of getting a little more fumed and heated, thinking, I don't tell you how to build a table. Don't tell me how to fish. Any of y'all ever had that? Don't tell me how to do my job. I've been doing my job for 25 years. I don't need some rookie telling me how to do something. They get out there and Simon does what Jesus says, and he's standing there and you know Peter. And I know you know Peter because every one of us want to be like Peter, right? Yes. If I ask you what disciple you associate with the most everyone says Peter. So, all right, Peter, there you are. Jesus is telling you how to do your job. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm fixing to show you, buddy. And all of a sudden, they can't drag in their nets. You know what the first thing that popped in, I guarantee you, the first thing that popped in Peter's mind was, dadgummit, we snagged a limb on the bottom. I told him not to go here. But as they pulled, they realized that the nets were full. And Scripture tells us that they called to their partners to come help them. And they drug in the nets. And it was so heavy and so many fish that it almost sank both boats. As Christians, we have a job. Last week, I told you that faith isn't just believing, but it's doing. And Jesus told Peter, he said, from this point on, you're going to catch fish, but it's not going to be the eating fish. You're going to be fishing for mankind. We are all called to be fishers. And we all know how to do that, right? We know how to go out and fish. We know how that we're supposed to go and disciple other humans. You see, Peter was a skeptic from the very get-go. How dare you come out here and tell me how to do this? And many times in our Christian walk and in our Christian witness, we think we know what we're doing. We think we've got it all together. I know the folks my parents' age knew how to witness. And they pounded it in our brains. And one of their tactics was probably one of the worst ways to do it, but you couldn't tell them, don't do that. Well, it's the way I've always done it. Y'all ever heard that before? It's the way I've always done it. It's not about the way we've always done it, but the way Christ has directed us to do it.
Jesus says, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to go to this person. You ever been standing in Walmart? Well, have you? That's my way to make sure they're still awake over here. And you've seen something or overheard something and you thought, wow, I'm glad I'm not part of that. And all of a sudden something in the back of your mind is saying, maybe you need to say something. Maybe you need to step in and do something. Maybe you need to give a little. The other day, we were at one of Angie's favorite stores. Nope, not Walmart. The dollar store. Wasn't that what it was? Yeah, the dollar store. Have y'all met my wife, Squeaky? So we're at the yes, Lord, I know. We're at the dollar store, and she comes out, and there was a lady that was in front of her, and she came out, and I thought it was kind of funny because the other lady went in after Angie but beat her out the door. And Angie comes out, and she had this little smile on her face, and she said, the lady that was in front of me came in and bought something, and she had $2, and it came to $2.17. And the lady got a little flustered because she didn't have enough money and she's going to have to go back out to the car. And Angie said, hey, no sense in you going to the car here. I'll give you 17 cents. But you see, sometimes we get that little voice that tells us that we need to get involved. And a lot of times our response is, I got this. I know how to do this. I've done it before. I don't get involved. That's the skeptic in our Christian walk. We call ourselves disciples, but yet we think we know when we need to witness to someone. There's another part that falls in there. Yeah, one of the things that I've seen over the years is when God tells somebody that He wants them to be a part of ministry and to do something. And they come to me and they say, you know, God's calling me to do ministry in the church. Great, I need a fourth grade Sunday school teacher. Oh, no. I can't do that. I'm not worthy of being a Sunday school teacher. I've got all of these hang-ups that I just don't feel comfortable doing that. Anybody ever experienced that? Peter was that way. Peter saw his humanness and he saw himself. Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinner. There's so many times that we don't think we're worthy, first of all, of God's love because of the rotten humans that we are, the things that we've done in our past. We're just not worthy. Yeah, we are. And the proof is the fact that God loves us so much that He sacrificed His Son. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what we've done in our past. God's love for us overcomes all of that. Peter said, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. There's an old saying that I like to use. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Peter was not qualified to be who he ended up being. And God knew that. But He gave him all the tools he needed to be the great leader that he became. So at first Peter was a skeptic, and then he recognized his sinfulness. The next thing that had to happen was submission. He had to surrender over to Christ in order to be utilized the way that he needed to be. We're no different than Peter. We're no different than James and John and Matthew. We don't deserve God's grace, but He gives it to us anyway. We don't deserve, and we can't be that disciple that He thinks we can. No, we can't on our own. But when we surrender to God, when we surrender to Christ, our whole being, that's when God uses us. Because that's at that time, that's when it becomes about God and not about us. That's when we remove ourselves from the pedestal and put Christ there. So, arrogant Peter. He thought he knew more about fishing than the Master, who came to reality with his sinfulness and knew that he was not worthy, and who recognized the forgiveness of God and surrendered his all. It was at that time that Jesus was able to do anything with him. So let me ask you this in closing. When you remove the skepticism from your life, when you recognize that you are a sinner, and when you're willing to turn over your whole being to Christ, just imagine what He can do with you. Just imagine the lives that can be touched just by surrendering your all to Christ. What do you think? Let's pray. Most Holy Father, we thank You for this time to be in Your presence. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that You give us to recognize that we don't know it all, and that we're not as high and mighty as we thought we were. And that when we surrender our lives to You, turn it all over to You, it's then that You can use us. Lord, as we leave here today, we know that we're going to face trials and tribulations and opportunities. Help us to listen to Your instruction, that we might be great fishers of men, just as Your disciples were. We pray this all in Your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.